This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor, C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.
A U.S. Air National Guardsman has been arrested in connection with an intelligence breach.
Earlier this afternoon, we saw some pretty striking footage of armored tactical federal agents at the house in Massachusetts taking him out in handcuffs.
And U.S. lawmakers are divided over whether the abortion pill mifepristone should remain on the market. Plus, why the price of gold is hovering near a record. It's Thursday, April 13th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Federal agents have made an arrest in connection with a leak of purported highly classified documents on Ukraine and dozens of other subjects. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Today, the Justice Department arrested Jack Douglas Teixeira in connection with an investigation into alleged unauthorized removal, retention, and transmission of classified national defense information. Teixeira is an employee of the United States Air Force National Guard.
Joining me now with more is our Justice Department reporter, Sadie Gurman. Sadie, this arrest came pretty quickly.
That's right. Just days ago, the FBI was trying to narrow down a pool of potential suspects in this case. And then overnight on Wednesday, they were able to home in on a 21-year-old Massachusetts Air National Guardsman in connection with the leak. And earlier this afternoon, we saw some pretty striking footage of armored tactical federal agents at the house in Massachusetts taking him out in handcuffs. They moved very swiftly to arrest this person after it became clear that he had some role in this massive intelligence breach.
Sadie, as we continue to follow the fallout here, what has this intelligence breach meant so far for the Biden administration?
Well, the Biden administration is still trying to assess the extent of the fallout from this widespread leak. But the main thing that is troubling to national security officials is the way in which it threatens to undermine U.S. ties to some of our allies, as well as could hurt our efforts to support the Ukrainians in their fight against Russia. So national security officials are taking this very seriously, but I think the extent of the fallout remains to be seen.
Wall Street Journal Justice Department reporter Sadie Gurman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Russia could consider the possibility of a prisoner exchange for Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, but only after a Russian court gives a verdict on the espionage allegation against him. That's what Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov told state news agency TASS on Thursday. He said any swap talks would use a channel Moscow and Washington have tapped in the past for such talks. The comments are the most extensive yet from Russia on the possibility of a prisoner swap. In Russia, legal proceedings, including the trial, can sometimes take more than a year. The White House did not respond to a request for comment. A spokeswoman for the Wall Street Journal declined to comment. Russian authorities detained Gershkovich in the eastern city of Yekaterinburg on March 29th while he was on reporting assignment. He has been held on an allegation of espionage. The Journal and the U.S. government have vehemently denied the allegation and have demanded his immediate release. Meanwhile, Time has named Gershkovich to its 2023 list of the most influential people. He is one of three imprisoned journalists on this year's list. Two Iranian reporters were named for what the magazine called crucial coverage of the protests against the country's regime. Several big banks report their first quarter earnings tomorrow. Our banking reporter, Peter Rudiger, says last month's turmoil in the financial sector could mean a tough quarter for all but the nation's largest banks.
After the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank last month in March, there was a whole movement and frenzy of deposits around the banking system looking for places where they were most safe. And where a lot of them landed are at the biggest banks. So we have some data from the Federal Reserve that showed in the month of March, about $200 billion in deposits left small banks. About $18 billion went to large banks, and the rest went somewhere else outside the banking system. So that's a really big deal because deposits are the lifeblood of banking, right? Banks use deposits to make loans. They make money from loans. That's where their profitability comes from. So anytime there's a sudden loss of deposits, it's going to affect bank profits. We don't know how much, but we'll start to find out tomorrow.
Citigroup, JPMorgan Chase, PNC Financial Services, and Wells Fargo are set to report just before the market opens on Friday. More big bank earnings roll out next week. U.S. supplier prices fell in March by the most in nearly 3 years, the latest evidence that inflation is moderating. The producer price index, which generally reflects supply conditions, fell 0.5% in March from the prior month, the largest monthly decrease since April 2020, according to the Labor Department. Meanwhile, gold prices hit their highest level of the year today, driven by bets that inflation will remain sticky despite recent declines. The most actively traded gold futures contract rose to $2,055.30 a troy ounce, up about 12% year-to-date. The rising gold price shows investors are wagering that the Federal Reserve will pull back from its rate hiking campaign, even with inflation readings well above its 2% target. Google presented arguments before a judge today to toss a landmark antitrust case over its search engine dominance. The Justice Department's civil lawsuit alleges Google maintains a monopoly on search engine queries through distribution agreements that make Google the default search engine on web browsers by other companies like Apple and Firefox. Our legal affairs reporter Jan Wolf says the stakes are high and could even lead to Google spinning off parts of its business.
Google and other big technology companies are under increasing scrutiny from U.S. regulators in recent years. And the case that had arguments today is perhaps the biggest case of all because it's the Justice Department suing Google over its search engine dominance. And at issue are contracts Google has with other major technology companies like Apple, in that case, to have Google's search engine in the Safari browser. And the stakes are really big for how people use the internet, because if the Justice Department wins this case, it can request a relief that could include spinning off parts of Google or having court-ordered changes to how Google operates its search engine, which is, you know, its bread and butter. So this hearing today is helping to frame the arguments ahead of what is likely going to be a closely watched and long non-jury trial in September.
And Italian energy giant Enel says it plans to add 10,000 electric vehicle fast chargers in the U.S. by 2030. Adding fast chargers is complex because of the huge electric load involved and costly infrastructure. But new U.S. laws designed to encourage the switch to greener cars have preceded a rush of investment announcements like this one. Our renewable energy reporter, Jennifer Hiller, has more.
It's a really large announcement. It would nearly double the amount of fast chargers that we've got in the U.S. right now. These are the chargers that can add power to your car in about 30 minutes. We do not have a ton of this kind of equipment in the U.S. right now. There's about 11,500 pieces of equipment that are out there that are available for any car to use. And so adding 10,000 would be fairly significant. You know, it would happen over a period of the next several years. So, you know, these are not all going to show up in the fall or something like that. But this is really intended to help sort of ease range anxiety, which is the fear that EV drivers are going to run out of power on the road and not be able to recharge. And when you don't see a lot of charging stations out there, it can make you hesitant to consider an EV purchase. So this is like the element that a lot of analysts and others say is necessary to really boost EV adoption and to get beyond the early adopters.
Enel's plans would make it one of the biggest operators in that market. Coming up, a federal appeals court is allowing the abortion pill mifepristone to stay on the market for now. We'll have more on what could be next after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.
The abortion pill mifepristone can remain on the market for now, but faces new restrictions that will change how it's used. That's according to an order handed down late last night by the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. Our D.C. audio reporter, Daniela Cheslow, brings us this report.
President Biden is in Ireland, but his team took on the abortion pill order from overseas. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters the administration will keep pressing to keep mifepristone available.
We are going to continue to fight in the courts. We believe that the law is on our side and we will prevail.
Mifepristone is used in more than half of abortions in the U.S., and it's been approved by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, for more than two decades. So how did it become a topic for debate? Laura Casisto covers legal affairs for the Journal. She says opposition to abortion pills picked up steam after the Supreme Court rescinded the constitutional right to an abortion.
Since the overturning of Roe v. Wade last June, we've seen a series of fast-moving legal battles challenging access to the abortion pill nationwide. One of those originated in Texas, where a judge overturned the FDA's approval of the abortion pill. Meanwhile, we have a separate case in Washington state where a judge has precluded the FDA from taking action to further restrict access to the pill. Those rulings would seem to be in conflict.
The New Orleans court order is temporary. It upholds the FDA's initial approval in 2000 of mifepristone, but the order restores restrictions on the drug that were loosened in 2016. So now patients can take mifepristone up to 7 weeks into a pregnancy instead of 10 weeks. Patients now have to visit a doctor in person 3 times to use it, and they can no longer get the pills by mail. In Washington, lawmakers have lined up on either side of the issue. 240 Democrats in Congress signed a brief backing the Biden administration's appeal of the Texas ruling that would ban mifepristone completely. Texas Democratic Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher signed that brief. She also sponsored a bill to block states from restricting access to abortion pills. And she says she hopes she might get some support from Republicans who control the House.
Here, I hope that we will see a consensus form around the FDA's authority to approve safe and effective medication and to ensure that neither the courts nor the states can undo this very well-established regulation process.
Some in the GOP could be open to that perspective. South Carolina Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace says she worries her party might alienate voters by supporting limits on abortion.
I'm in a purple swing district. I will tell you the abortion issue is not going away. By and large, Republicans they're losing on this issue. They've taken the wrong positions, the most extreme positions, and I've seen data in very conservative places in South Carolina where they're not with the extremes.
She was speaking to my colleague Natalie Andrews. More than 70% of Americans oppose outlawing abortion pills, according to the polling firm PRRI. Political strategists for both parties say the issue of abortion helped Democrats perform better than expected in last year's elections. Still, the GOP is divided. 69 Republicans in Congress signed an amicus brief in support of the Texas ruling that would rescind the FDA's approval of mifepristone. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma was one of them. He told me in a voice note that he agrees with the new restrictions on the pill.
So those things were all done to be able to protect the life of every single woman that is actually taking this drug and how it's being used and how it's being dispensed. Now, the next steps on this will be interesting. We're going to continue to be able to track the courts. Obviously, this is not settled.
The Fifth Circuit court order from New Orleans isn't the final word in the case. The Department of Justice and the FDA say they will challenge this ruling in the Supreme Court. The conservative legal group, the Alliance Defending Freedom, represented plaintiffs against the approval of the abortion pill. Attorney Erin Hawley says the group will meet the challenge.
Of course, we would respond to that and tell the Supreme Court that we very much agree that at least these safeguards and guardrails should be put back in place to protect women at a very, very minimum.
For now, doctors can still prescribe mifepristone in states where abortion is allowed. But it's tricky. Here's Wall Street Journal's Laura Casisto again.
The abortion pill can still be prescribed in states where abortion is otherwise legal. If this order out of the Fifth Circuit takes effect on Friday, then we could see doctors only being able to prescribe the pill with certain restrictions in place. But we also are expecting an appeal to the Supreme Court that could upend things yet again.
Some clinics have said they might stop prescribing the pill to patients because the restrictions could make it too expensive or time-consuming. Dr. Katie McHugh is a member of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. The group condemned the Texas ruling, and Dr. McHugh, who performs abortions in Indiana, says she can feel new tensions when she talks with patients.
So this week, when I was seeing patients, it was difficult to have those conversations because patients are scared that they are breaking the law or that they're going to get in trouble.
She says she tells them they are still in the clear for now. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Daniela Cheslow in Washington.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor, C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.